welcome to the second episode of the LA Sports Pod, a sports podcast where we'll discuss news and updates surrounding the two most popular sports franchises in the city of Los Angeles, the LA Lakers and the LA Dodgers. We will also discuss the top stories around the National Basketball Association and Major League Baseball. I'll also share my opinion of what's going on in sports. I am your host, Jose Solis, and I appreciate you for tuning in to this episode. All right, let's start off by talking about what's going on in the NBA. We received great news last week as the NBA reported that zero NBA players tested positive for the coronavirus out of 346 tested at the Orlando campus. This was huge news as it proves that the precautions the NBA has taken are really working. It also demonstrates that the players and staff are doing a good job in following the directions the NBA has provided to ensure player safety. With this, it also means that things are going smoothly so far, and it means that the chances of an outbreak occurring at the campus are not as high as many feared. But players need to make sure that they keep following the rules set in place to keep everyone safe. For now, it looks like the NBA season will be able to survive despite the current COVID numbers rising around the country. Props to the NBA for being able to get the job done to bring basketball back to our living room TVs. We'll have more quarantine content thanks to them. Now, a player that has received a lot of attention over the past few days is Los Angeles Clippers guard Lou Williams. He had left the NBA bubble to tend to a family matter, but then he was spotted at a social club in Atlanta. He did admit to the NBA that he was in fact there while he was in his hometown for a family funeral. Now, he tried to downplay it by saying he was only there for food, but there is no doubt that this is a bad look. The NBA can't be happy with his actions with all the work they're doing to keep the season going. Players might not be happy considering that they are all making huge sacrifices being away from their families for this extended period of time in order to make this all work out. It's just simply not a good look. Clippers coach Doc Rivers did confirm that Williams was now back in Orlando, but they were not happy to see images of Williams out at this social club. The NBA did have to investigate Williams' activities while on an excused absence to determine how long his quarantine process would take. And well, after they concluded their investigation, they decided that Williams will have to quarantine for 10 days. This means that he will have to miss the first two Clippers seeding games once the season officially resumes on Thursday. So, he will miss the game they play against the Lakers, and he will miss the game they play against the Pelicans. So, we'll see how the Clippers perform in those games without Williams coming off the bench. But, with what Williams did, we'll have to see what the NBA decides to do, if anything, to discourage this from happening again. I mean, yeah, if you have to leave for an urgent family reason, you should be allowed to leave. But the NBA should really do something to discourage players from repeating what Williams did while away from the campus. It'll be very interesting to see what else comes out of this situation. We've seen a few players now leave the Orlando bubble for urgent family matters. Some have also left due to injuries, so they have returned to their team cities in order to receive extended treatment. And with that, the NBA has informed teams of updated protocols for player re-entry into the bubble once they return. Since players are tested for COVID every day that they are away from the bubble, they are now subject to less than 4 days of quarantine, or none, if they are approved to leave for local or NBA-designated medical treatment. if they are directed to quarantine, they are only allowed outside their room for a maximum of 30 minutes per day during quarantine, and they have to practice social distancing of at least 25 feet. Although a few have left the bubble, some have already returned from their excused absences. One example of that is Pelicans forward Zion Williamson returning to the campus. He cleared the quarantine protocol and as of Tuesday participated in a team practice. Zion did end up playing in the Pelicans opener against the Utah Jazz, but his minutes were limited. The Pelicans did end up losing their game as the Jazz beat them with a score of 106 to 104. The Clippers are going to be short of one of their key players off the bench in Montrezl Harrell. He reportedly still hasn't returned from his excused absence as he is still tending to the urgent family matter. So the Clippers were short of another key player off the bench in their opener against the Lakers. Now, we do have a bright spot to come out of the tune-up games that teams were playing to prepare for the season. And it involves the Denver Nuggets center named Bol Bol. He has been getting minutes with the Nuggets during their tune-up games, and he has impressed folks with his play. Now, he is tall. He measures 7 feet and 2 inches, but he doesn't only play close to the basket. He can actually shoot the three-point shot. Now, he is a rookie and probably won't get a ton of minutes once the season resumes, but he has been a bright spot for the Nuggets, and if they continue to develop him, a lineup with Jokic and Bol Bol would be lethal, as they both can stretch the floor. They won't cause a lot of congestion close to the basket. We'll see how the Nuggets handle his development and his minutes while the season is underway. But they do have a player that can contribute to their team in the future if he stays healthy. Now, as we were recording this episode, we received even more great news. For a second consecutive week, the NBA has reported 0 cases of COVID on the NBA campus. Things are looking really good for the resumption of the NBA season, and we hope that it stays this way. There has been some more news on the NBA awards. As we talked about in the last episode, the NBA awards will be a little different this year in that the voting will be based on when the season originally started back in October of last year to the point where the season was suspended. As of the date of this recording, the NBA awards voting has already took place. It was set to take place between July 21st to the 28th. So all the votes have already been cast at this point. Normally, the NBA would hold a whole event to announce the results and to celebrate the players who won awards. But due to everything that's going on, that event will not take place this year. Instead, the awards will be announced during the playoffs. So we will learn who won MVP when we are in the playoffs. Some other events have had to be moved to different dates as well. We have learned that the 2020 draft lottery will now take place on August 20th. For those who don't know, the draft lottery is where the 15 teams with the worst records learn what position they will pick in the draft. And the NBA draft is where teams select players to join their team out of college or overseas from other countries. The 2020 NBA draft will occur on October 16th. Now, let's focus in on the Lakers. The Lakers face the Clippers in their opener on Thursday night. In the matchup, we got a glimpse of what to expect to see if these two teams were to meet in the playoffs. But the Clippers were playing without Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Nevertheless, it was a pretty good game. The teams did look a bit rusty at times. Both teams had a lot of turnovers during the game. But this rust was expected, as this was their first official game back since the season was suspended back in March. The game did kind of flip-flop in terms of who held the lead. The Lakers held a double-digit lead early in the game, but then the Clippers came back and were only down by two at halftime. In the third quarter, the Clippers took a double-digit lead of their own, but then the Lakers came back and made it close. In the fourth quarter, the Lakers had a double-digit lead, but then they let go of it as the Clippers tied the game at 101 with a huge three made by Paul George with less than 30 seconds to go in the game. But then LeBron came back and scored 2 points after getting the rebound off his own miss and hitting a huge layup with 12 seconds left in the game. The Clippers still had a chance to tie or win the game, but they came up short as Paul George was unable to make a three-pointer over LeBron James. He went for the win, but came up just short. So the Lakers ended up winning 103-101. It was a very entertaining ballgame. LeBron did come through in the clutch for the Lakers as he hit the layup to put them ahead, and he played really good defense on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. LeBron didn't allow Kawhi to get into position to hit a big shot. He forced Kawhi to pass the ball to Paul George, and then LeBron switched to guard George. He played really good defense, and that prevented the Clippers from winning the game at the end. LeBron didn't shoot great from the field as he was 6 for 19, but he got the 2 points that mattered the most, and he got the defensive stop. He ended the night with 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists, which is still pretty good. Anthony Davis contributed to the score with 34 points. He also had 8 rebounds and 4 assists on the night. He got a big chunk of his points from the free throw line as he took 17 free throws and made 16 of them. Kyle Kuzma had a good game as well. He scored 16 points off the bench and had 7 rebounds. He was 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. Hopefully, he keeps having games like this where his shot is falling. That would be huge for the Lakers to be able to rely on his shooting come playoff time. It was a well-fought game, but the Lakers were able to pull it off at the end. Overall, what a way to resume the season. We saw 2 games on the first night, the Jazz versus the Pelicans and the Clippers versus the Lakers. Both these games came down to the final seconds. It was a great night of basketball. Both games were decided by only 2 points, so it was great to see back-to-back competitive basketball games. The NBA has to be happy with how these games turned out. And as fans of basketball, it's really nice to be watching live basketball all over again. All right, let's talk some baseball. The 2020 baseball season finally kicked off last Thursday, and we've been waiting for opening day for what seems like forever. But what we didn't want to hear right away is the situation that's currently going on with the Miami Marlins. Over the weekend, we learned that some players and coaches on the Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus. This is not what we wanted to hear less than a week into the new season. 16 players on the Marlins and 2 of their coaches have tested positive as of Wednesday, July 29th. The good news is that the team they played against, the Philadelphia Phillies, have yet to to test positive for the virus. Their test results have been coming back negative so far, but since it is a fluid situation where the incubation period can last up to 14 days, this does not guarantee that the players on the Phillies do not have the virus. Due to the situation, some games have been either canceled or postponed due to the uncertainty involving both the Marlins and the Phillies. Games were scheduled to be continued in Miami as soon as next week, but the Washington Nationals, the team scheduled to play the Marlins, had a team meeting and players voted against going to Miami to play the Marlins. They were asked who felt uncomfortable going, and most of the players raised their hands. This is very understandable. The players are already risking a lot by playing baseball during these times, which involves traveling to different cities and staying in different hotels. So it's tough for them to feel comfortable going into a situation where players have tested positive for the virus, because then they run a greater risk of getting the virus themselves. That's a very tough spot to be in. So we're going to have to see how Major League Baseball responds to this outbreak with the Marlins. The bright side to this is that no other team has tested positive for the virus yet. Before the season had started, Nationals outfielder Juan Soto had tested positive for COVID, but they were able to isolate him and put him in quarantine before he spread it to the rest of the team. And he should be cleared to return to play soon. But the situation with the Marlins is pretty much a worst-case scenario for the MLB. They literally just started the season, and for this to have already happened, that's tough. Certainly not something they wanted to have happen to them right away. But there was always a possibility of this happening, because they didn't adopt the bubble format that other leagues have adopted. Now, certainly, it wouldn't have been easy for baseball to do this, because you can't just choose a city and plop down a bunch of baseball fields. And baseball teams carry a lot more personnel, so it wouldn't have been easy to put players inside a single bubble. So we'll just have to wait and see how they adapt to the changing circumstances if more players or teams were to test positive. And we'll have to pay close attention to the Marlins and the Phillies if more positive cases were to pop up. The MLB would also have to figure out how they're going to reschedule the games the Marlins and Phillies miss due to this situation. The season is already shorter as is, and with every single game being a lot more valuable this year, I doubt that they would be okay with just canceling those games and not make them up down the line. With all this, we can just hope that they can contain the virus and not have it spread to other teams who have not been hit with COVID. It would be a real shame if it spread among the other teams and baseball would have to be canceled due to an outbreak throughout the league. They might have to adopt new safety protocols to prevent another Marlins situation from happening. Well, we have just received some breaking news. As we were recording this, we received more information about the Phillies. They have officially canceled all workouts at Citizens Bank Park, the field they play at, after a coach and a clubhouse attendant have tested positive for the coronavirus. As a result of this, the Toronto Blue Jays versus the Phillies games this weekend have been postponed. This just goes to show how easily this virus can spread if it is not contained. We can only hope that this is the worst of it, but we'll have to wait and see if any other test results come back positive. Switching gears a bit, let's talk about the Dodgers. There's quite a bit to talk about with the Dodgers. The biggest news was that outfielder Mookie Betts has officially signed a 12-year, $365 million extension to stay in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. When you add on this current season, he will make a total of $392 million in the span of 13 years. This, of course, is the second richest total deal in Major League Baseball history, second only to Angels outfielder Mike Trout. Now, that's a lot of money, but Betts is really deserving of it. He's a great hitter, a great base runner, and he's great on the defensive side of the ball in right field. It's good that the Dodgers were able to pull this off before the end of the season, because now they won't risk losing him in free agency. And you can tell that Betts loves to be a Dodger. The comments he has made shows that he loves to be here and that he wants to bring championships back to Los Angeles. And for him to sign a contract before even playing an official game for the Dodgers, that just shows he's excited to be here. And we're excited to have him. He's going to be here for the long run. Huge props to Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, for getting the deal done. Friedman has taken a bit of heat from Dodgers fans over the years for being unable to sign top-tier free agents or for being unwilling to spend big money to draw the top free agents to the Dodgers. But I believe that he has made up for it with this deal. He has redeemed himself. But overall, we'll have to wait and see if the deal actually results in the Dodgers bringing back a World Series title back to Los Angeles. The Dodgers had scheduled Clayton Kershaw to be their opening day starting pitcher against the Giants last week. But he was scratched off after learning that Kershaw was dealing with back stiffness. That resulted in Dustin May getting the start, and his stuff looked electric. The movement on his pitches looked very good, and May is only going to get better. The Dodgers ended up splitting their opening series against the Giants after winning their first two games in blowout fashion, but then losing the following two in close games. That's certainly not what we wanted to see against the Giants, especially since they were playing without a lot of their better players. Some are out due to injuries, while others had opted out of the season due to COVID concerns. Now, we did receive some good news about Kershaw. After he got his MRI, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said that it came back clean. So, we should expect to see Kershaw back sooner rather than later. That's really, really good news. After the Dodgers concluded their series against the Giants, they traveled to Houston, Texas to face the Astros in a rematch of the 2017 World Series. We were all curious to see what would happen when these teams played against each other. When they played their first game on Tuesday, the game started off pretty normal. The Astros were winning early on until the fifth inning, when the Dodgers put up a five spot in the fifth. At that point, the Dodgers were up 5-2, but things got a bit heated in the bottom of the sixth inning. Dodgers reliever Joe Kelly was put in the game to pitch in the sixth, and he didn't have control of his pitches. He was having a tough time locating his pitches inside the strike zone. When Kelly faced Astros third baseman Alex Bregman, he almost hit him with a 96-mile-per-hour fastball on a 3-0 count. So Bregman was walked on four pitches. Now, that must have been really nerve-wracking for him, as he had to duck out of the way. It can't be fun to see a fastball coming right at your head, but nevertheless, nothing came out of that. But later in the inning, Kelly almost hit another Astro player. This time it was almost shortstop Carlos Correa with an 87-mile-per-hour changeup. This forced Correa to duck out of the way, and he ended up falling while ducking, as that one almost hit him in the head as well. Now, Joe Kelly eventually struck out Correa with a knuckle curveball to end the inning. But that's where things got interesting. As Kelly was walking to the Dodgers dugout, he looked at Correa and apparently told him, "Nice swing," in a sarcastic way, and much stronger language that we can't repeat. Now, Kelly also made crying and pouty faces towards Correa, and the Astros didn't like that one bit. This caused a benches clearing incident as they were arguing with each other. Nothing, of course, came out of that, so it was just a normal benches clearing situation where players talk trash at each other and then eventually have to move on. The Dodgers did end up winning that game with a score of 5-2. But the bigger story came on Wednesday when Major League Baseball decided to suspend Joe Kelly for 8 games, and they suspended Dodgers manager Dave Roberts for 1 game. Roberts served his 1-game suspension on Wednesday, while Joe Kelly is appealing his suspension. Kelly is able to pitch in games until the appeals process is completed, but this is absolutely insane. Kelly got suspended for not even hitting a player on the Astros. That's ridiculous. How are you going to suspend someone who didn't hit anyone? Especially after MLB decided not to suspend any Astros players for cheating their way to a championship. That's completely unacceptable. Look, I get that it's not okay to hit someone intentionally with a pitch, but we don't even know if Kelly did it intentionally, considering that his command of his pitches was off all night, and he has struggled his entire career with his command. But to suspend him after not hitting anyone, and he didn't even get ejected from that game, that's just crazy. Many current and former baseball players don't understand this decision to suspend Kelly either. The hashtag #FreeJoeKelly started trending on Twitter shortly after the news of his suspension broke. And they make a point. How far will MLB go to keep siding with the cheaters? But of course, this is MLB's fault with how they handled the whole situation. The players didn't receive any punishment for cheating, and the Astros got to keep their championship even after winning it by cheating. This left players infuriated with how MLB handled it and mad at the Astros for cheating. So now it feels like the players will deal with the cheaters in their own way. But honestly, we don't want to see any of them seriously hurt. So I hope pitchers on opposing teams aren't intentionally aiming for the head, because getting drilled in the head with a 95-mile-per-hour fastball can cause serious injury. We don't want to see that. But I still think that the 8-game suspension on Kelly was excessive for not even hitting a batter. We'll have to see if the suspension gets reduced in the appeals process. 8 games may not seem like much, but in a 60-game season where each game is so incredibly valuable, it is a bit much for what happened. Another thing I don't quite understand is why Dave Roberts was suspended 1 game. He had nothing to do with the matter. It's not like he told Kelly to try to hurt anyone. Roberts is not that type of person. But anyway, he served his suspension just to get it out of the way. The worst that happened to the Astros as a result of the benches clearing incident was their manager Dusty Baker getting hit with a fine. No players on the Astros side were punished for the incident. Anyway, with all this happening, the Dodgers had to somehow find a way to move past it, as they had to later play the Astros again on Wednesday afternoon. They had to not let this affect their performance. During that game, the bats were pretty silent for the Dodgers. However, their excellent pitching out of the bullpen kept them in the game. The Dodgers' bullpen has been lights out so far this year. That's been good to see after their bullpen wasn't that great last season. This game did go into extra innings, so we got to see the Dodgers play their first extra innings game with the new rule set in place for this season. The new rule for this season only is that a team starts with a runner at second base to start the inning in extras. The player at second base will be the last player who was called out in the previous inning. This rule was set in place so games wouldn't go that long into the night if it were to go to extras. So many games are packed into a short schedule that they can't afford to play multiple extra innings. So this is meant to speed up the process if games go into extras. But even with the rule change, the game went all the way into the 13th inning. It was in that inning that Edwin Rios of the Dodgers hit a huge 2-run home run to put the Dodgers up 4-2 in the 13th. Then young Dodgers pitcher Dennis Santana got huge outs to end the game and give the Dodgers the victory. It's good to see the young guys putting in the work to contribute to a Dodgers win. And this goes to show how many weapons the Dodgers have on their roster this year. This team is loaded with talent. Hopefully, it'll carry them far this year. So after two disappointing losses against the Giants, the Dodgers bounced back and won two games against the Astros. The Dodgers then traveled down to Arizona to face the Diamondbacks in a four-game series and won the first game with a score of 6-3. Dodgers outfielder A.J. Pollock remains on fire after hitting 2-for-5 in the game, one of those hits being a 2-run home run. We also saw shortstop Corey Seager hit a home run, and first baseman Max Muncy hit a home run as well. The bats were a little bit more active for this game, as the team had 7 hits and plated 6 runs. It's good that multiple players are contributing on the offensive end, as MVPs Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger have been struggling so far since the season started. But with other players hitting well, they have time to turn it around. Dodgers pitching out of the bullpen remains on fire as they pitched another really good game. Since Joe Kelly is able to pitch until the appeals process on his suspension is complete, we did see him come into the game and he pitched a clean inning. We also saw Brusdar Gatterall come into the game and, oh man, this kid is an absolute stud. His pitches are electric and he can reach a velocity of 101 miles per hour on his pitches. He's been really good so far for the Dodgers. After defeating the Diamondbacks in the first game of the four-game series, the Dodgers now improved to a record of 5 wins and 2 losses, as they are on a short 3-game winning streak. We'll see if they can keep the streak going in the games to come. Despite 2020 being a crazy year, with sports officially up and going again, it does provide a small sense of normalcy that we've all been missing. It's just great to have something to look forward to every afternoon, evening, or night. But, I don't know, it's just a thought. Maybe it's just me that feels that way. But, anyway, that will conclude episode 2 of the LA Sports Pod. I appreciate you all for listening. If you'd like to share your opinion or if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on social media. Our handles on Twitter and Instagram are at LA Sports Pod, so make sure to give us a follow. You could also leave a comment on our website at lasportspod.com. If you'd like to leave a voice message, you can do so on our podcast page at anchor.fm/LA Sports Pod. And who knows, you might get to hear your voice on the next episode. If you'd like to support the podcast, the best way to do so is to share it with others. Again, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on social to know when the next episode is uploaded. Please stay safe out there during these crazy times, and I'll catch y'all next time.